And welcome to the Interior Health Nursing Grand Rounds, a podcast conversation. I am your host, Allison Thomas, and on this podcast, we talk all things nursing and healthcare. I work as the clinical nurse specialist in the Trauma Services Network in Interior Health. Interior Health would like to recognize and acknowledge the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Dakal Dene, Tanaha, Inglekatma, Shawepam, Statliam, Sioux, and Chicoltean nations, where we live, learn, collaborate, and work together.
And today I'm so thrilled to be able to introduce you to my colleague, Tanis Anderson. So Tanis is here to talk to us about primary care nursing. Today I'm really excited about all the things I'm going to learn from her. And maybe Tanis, can I just ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your nursing background?
Yes. So I would like to acknowledge that I have the privilege to live on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Sioux Nation in what is known as Kelowna, British Columbia. This is where I get to enjoy the beauty of the lands every day, and I'm very thankful to be able to learn, work, and play here. I have a beautiful family with two amazing adult children. I've been a nurse for over 30 years, and the first part of my career I spent in seniors health, while the latter half of my career I've been able to spend in primary care. I started as a diploma nurse and then obtained my nursing degree at the University of Calgary and then completed my master's in nursing at Athabasca University with a teaching focus.
Amazing. So you come with such great background for us and you have lots of expertise to share. Maybe, Tanis, this might seem like a silly question, but could you tell me what is primary care and who works there?
So primary care is providing care across the lifespan in patient medical homes through a team-based care environment, looking at a model of staying healthy, getting better, living with chronic illness and disability, and coping with end of life through a person and family-centered lens. The patient medical home is an optimized family practice that provides patients with comprehensive longitudinal primary care. It is a foundation of an integrated system of care. And then within BC, we have primary care networks where the patient medical homes and other primary care providers, health authority providers, First Nations and community organizations are networked together to provide the primary care services that a local population requires. Mm-hmm. Within this, we also have urgent and primary care centers in British Columbia, which provide urgent primary care for conditions that require primary care within 12 to 24 hours, but don't actually require the resources of an emergency department. One of the greatest benefits of primary care is that we work within a team-based care, and it provides health services within the patient medical homes and urgent and primary care centers to individuals, families, and other communities through a variety of health professions working collaboratively together. The team may consist of physicians, nurse practitioners, medical office assistants, nurses, and allied health. Examples of allied health are pharmacists, dietitians, occupational therapists, physical therapists, and social workers. And then as health professionals, we each have different skills and knowledge to help our patients. And depending on the patient's needs when they visit, they may actually see one or more team members. And each patient medical home and urgent and primary care center team members will be unique based on their community needs. I would like to outline, though, that the most important person of this team is actually the patient. Through person and family-centered care, patients are at the forefront of their health care, and they lead their care through informed decision-making in collaboration with their healthcare team. When I talk about staying healthy within primary care, we really want to be able to involve supporting promotion and prevention activities within the communities. And in British Columbia, we follow what's called the BC Lifetime Prevention Schedule. This schedule looks at clinical prevention services across the lifespan and includes screening recommendation and behavioral intervention. This also includes health education, risk screening, health counseling, health promotion, primary prevention, and immunizations that all fall within staying healthy. Mm. And then when we look at the getting better provides that episodic care, including treatment of acute conditions. And then living with chronic illness and disability, we are able to support through chronic disease management and secondary prevention. Secondary prevention is reducing the impact of that disease. And we also look at rehabilitation and long-term care. And then the last area for primary care is coping with end-of-life care, and that includes physical comfort and supporting emotional and spiritual needs.
Wow. So basically what you're telling me, Tanis, is primary care does everything, everything that a patient might need. So that's amazing. That's such an, it is the critical part of our healthcare system, isn't it? That primary care.
It is. It's our first entry into the healthcare system. And our goal is definitely to support that longitudinal practice and be able to support individuals, families, and communities across that lifespan, keeping them healthy, as well as supporting them when they have medical healthcare needs.
Mm-hmm. I love the focus on person-centered care and what's important to the person, not just what we think as healthcare providers should be their priorities. I love that. Could you tell me a little bit more about the role for nurses in primary care?
The role for nurses in primary care is very vast, as you can tell from when we look at what is primary care. But the registered nurse in primary care is also known as a family practice nurse, a primary care nurse, or a nurse in practice. The nurse provides care across the lifespan, and they form long-term, continuous, longitudinal relationships with the patient in the medical home. They help patients navigate the system and access resources. They can provide education and support directed at health promotion, disease prevention, and management of chronic conditions. The nurse is a valuable team member within the patient medical home. And depending on the reason for the patient visit, there may be times when the patient actually only sees the registered nurse or may see the registered nurse and other members of the healthcare team. Through professionalism, clinical practice, communication, collaboration and partnership, quality assurance, evaluation and research, and leadership, the primary care nurse can provide multiple services. So a few of the services or care that the nurses can provide is prenatal care, well baby checkups, and annual exams. Primary care nurses can support reproductive and sexual health. They may be helping the patient navigate the healthcare system and transitions between settings. They provide care in collaboration and also support case management, conduct preventative screening, coordinate and implement primary care-based programs for healthy living. They can connect and refer you to other health professional services and supports in the community, provide mental health and addiction support, work with patients to understand their medications, support illness management, and a lot of conditions that we support are diabetes, asthma, COPD, heart disease, high blood pressure, renal, and any liver problems. And so the list is actually extensive. Providing health education, we do provide direct care. So we do procedures such as simple or basic wound care, ear syringing, routine adult immunizations, plantar wart treatment. We do point of care testing, which is really like blood glucose monitoring, pregnancy tests, urinalysis screening, cognitive screening. In some primary care practices, registered nurses actually have the ability to obtain certified nursing practice, which is specific to BC, and this also optimizes their scope of practice and ability to provide advanced nursing care. Areas that nurses can obtain the certified practice in are sexual health, contraceptive management, opioid agonist treatment, and treatment of common primary care conditions. Registered nurses in primary care, as you can tell, are really generalists, and they need to know a little about a lot, and they support their autonomous practice with continuous learning to remain current and following evidence-informed practice.
Wow. Kenneth, tell me about what are some of the things that you love about primary care nursing? Why has this become your home?
When I was looking at that question, I was like, love everything about primary care nursing. It really is my passion. And once I fell into it and started working within it, I have had a great opportunity to advance my nursing career and have hopefully a positive impact on primary care nursing. As a clinical nurse specialist in primary care, I get to support primary care from a clinical consult perspective, a leadership perspective, advancing nursing practice a lot through education and evaluation and research and sitting on research projects as well. It's really exciting to be able to work in the four domains of clinical nurse specialist practice. And as a primary care nursing has the ability to positively influence the health of individuals, families, and communities through relationships in a team-based care environment, it just warms my heart to be able to practice and be able to make that difference. The ability to change lives and shape the future of healthcare provides an exciting opportunity to make that difference and really be a part of giving back. And then the scope and breadth of primary care nursing and working across the lifespan provides unending excitement, growth, and relational care. And those are all amazing aspects that really speak to me and speak to my nursing practice. And while it does hold a lot of responsibility, as primary care nurses, we are definitely equipped to do all of this and more.
Mm-hmm. So knowing what you know now, if you could go back in time to the time that you transitioned into primary care, would you make that decision again?
I absolutely would. I moved into primary care. I would have say I would like to have moved into it earlier than I had moved into it. Mind you, I do love my seniors' health, and a lot of transition from seniors' health into primary care are all of the same principles and concepts. But I definitely would move into primary care, and I'm just so excited when nurses are interested in primary care, and I can talk endlessly about it and encourage everyone to move into primary care.
But what do you think are some misconceptions that people have about primary care nursing?
Well, I've been specifically speaking about registered nurses in primary care, but I do believe it's really important to highlight that there are multiple nursing roles available to support primary care. So we do have nurses working that are licensed practical nurses, registered psychiatric nurses, registered nurses, and nurse practitioners. And as nurses, we can really work together to optimize each of our scopes and work as a team and provide that primary care nursing within the patient medical home. Having these multiple nursing roles complements each other to provide nurses with many avenues to enter primary care nursing and work within the scope that meets their career goals. So there's a place for every nurse within primary care. Then I guess I would say probably the second thing that I would like to bring awareness to is that all nurses are regulated healthcare professionals. All nurses have their own scope of practice, standards of practice, and educational requirements. And that they really work within four levels of control and practice that include regulation and legislation. So a lot of our government regulations and legislation that are passed, as well as nationally. We also are supported by our regulatory body, which is the British Columbia College of Nurses and Midwives. We're supported also by our employer through our clinical decision support tools, our policies, and our procedures. And then lastly, we are responsible for our own individual competence. And we do have the ability to be working autonomously within our scope that is outlined by BCCNM. This does all impact the work and care that we provide within primary care setting, and it helps ensure quality, safe patient care.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so if you could talk to every primary care nurse in the world, from your lens, I think you get to see kind of a bird's eye view of what's going on, at least in our health region and probably elsewhere. Is there one or two things that you would like every primary care nurse to know?
I really feel that I'd like every primary care nurse to know that primary care nursing is an amazing field to work within, and that primary care nurses really are making a difference. And this is locally within the own community. We're making a difference with our patients themselves, with their families, and with our communities. But we're also making a difference provincially, nationally, and internationally. And one of the best pieces about being a primary care nurse is those relationships and the person-centered care are at the heart of being a primary care nurse. And that is really the foundation of being able to provide primary care nursing and having the time to be able to provide that relational care.
If there is somebody listening out there who's thinking, oh, I think primary care is for me, and how do I move into that kind of work? Do you have any suggestions for where people might start? Is it as simple as looking for job postings? Or how would you suggest someone goes about that?
So absolutely, the first would be looking at job postings that are available, but there are so many vast areas within primary care. Mm. So we have outreach clinics, we have patient medical homes, we have urgent and primary care centers, we have community health centers, we have primary care network hubs. So there are multiple positions that are available to be able to look and find. There is the Canadian Family Practice Nurses Association, which is national across Canada. And that is a really good place to really start to look towards primary care nursing. The CFPNA has webinars about primary care nursing on their website. They also have posted our Canadian core competencies for primary care nurses and really encompasses what those national competencies are available. Reaching out to any nurse that is in primary care, I'm always more than happy and excited to talk to nurses about primary care. And then Canadian Nurses Association, they also have a website on primary care nursing and what's happening nationally. The World Health Organization has information on primary care internationally and what is involved within that. So many avenues to reach out and start investigating and determining if primary care is an area they would be interested in.
Great. And you've already, I think, pointed us to some really good places to look for resources. But I'm wondering if you can share maybe some of your favorite resources for primary care nursing and point us in the right direction if we're looking for really quality resources.
Yeah, so the Canadian Family Practice Nurses Association, as I've mentioned, is probably the best place to start. And as I said, they host, you know, the national competencies for registered nurses in primary care. They have their webinars. They also this year have started a primary care team nursing for education, which is a 2.5 hour free course to be able to take if you're a member of CFPNA. And it really provides the foundation of what is primary care nursing and what types of skill sets and education do you really need to start having. So again, it talks a lot about that team-based care, talks about what the patient medical home is more in depth, talks about critical thinking and care planning, and really provides a good, strong base of primary care nursing. I spoke also briefly earlier about the BC Lifetime Prevention Scale. Mm-hmm. And so that is a great place to go for British Columbians because it does outline clinical prevention services for British Columbians. And it is across the lifespan. So it looks at supporting children, infants, prenatal care. It looks at supporting chronic disease management. It looks at supporting when should you start screening for certain types of cancer. What type of screening and when should you start for, say, chronic disease management like diabetes or hypertension? And so it's a really good place to go to really look at what the heart of primary care is and helping keep British Columbians healthy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go look that up as soon as we're done talking.
The other thing that is available in BC, it's called BC Guidelines, and their clinical practice guidelines and protocols that provide recommendations to BC practitioners. Mm-hmm. And there is a whole list of healthcare conditions and how to support and manage those conditions. And it is also kept current, so it's very evidence-informed, and it helps guide practitioners in managing different conditions that their patients have. And if it's not necessarily specific to each condition, particularly, we know that there's a lot of specialties within those BC guidelines. And so when you're starting to go into those BC guidelines and look things for like pediatrics, it sends you back to the BC Child Health, because that is going to be our expert in that area. Or there is perinatal services, and it will direct you to the perinatal services area. If you're looking up diabetes, it helps support you to going to the Canadian Diabetes Association, where the diabetes clinical guidelines are. So it's kind of a one place for BC practitioners to be going to support. And it's a really good place for nurses to go, because then we're able to help support the practitioners when we understand what guidelines they're working from. And so I always recommend individuals go into those BC guidelines and be able to stay evidence-informed within their practice. I'd also really like to say that the University of British Columbia Okanagan is really leading the way in primary care nursing education through either a post-baccalaureate primary care nursing certificate or a primary care practice essentials micro-credentialing. And the really exciting piece about that is the post-baccalaureate primary care nursing certificate is brand new and has just been approved. And so we're getting that going, and that's going to be like amazing, because we're going to have baccalaureate nurses as well as master's nursing students all be able to take this certificate program. And then the essentials for the micro-credentials is also new. It started earlier this year with a health assessment course, and now they're going to be moving into a case management care coordination course. The nice thing about the micro-credentials is you can just take one course or another, like one course, or you can take all of the courses when they're available. But some nurses find that that just might fit into their practice a little bit easier than having to take a certificate program. So really exciting with these new courses and education that is available to primary care nursing, and certainly is one of a kind and one of the few education available for primary care nurses beyond what they're able to take within their nursing programs.
Would you like to comment, Tatanis, on your involvement in developing that work at UBC? I think you're being modest.
I've been very excited through that work. So Sheila App has been amazing and has been leading the work along with Nellie Oakley. And so when they were looking at it, I had the opportunity to be able to provide some feedback and some content expertise. And then I've also been able to develop post-baccalaureate primary care nursing certificate courses. So it started off with one primary care nursing course, and now we're going to be creating a level two course and a practicum. So I've had the pleasure of being able to be thoroughly involved within it. But definitely Sheila and Nellie have been the experts and have graciously brought myself in to be able to support and advance nursing.
Amazing. And curriculum development is no joke. That is a lot of work. So congratulations for your involvement in that.
I also recently had the opportunity to attend the International Council of Nurses Conference on Nurse Practitioner Advanced Practice Nurses in September. And I was really excited when I was there, because within the opening of the conference, the International Council of Nurses actually launched a new position statement and discussion paper setting out the revolution in the delivery of primary health care and saying that nursing is going to be the key profession to transform primary health care and is essential to meeting their goal of universal health coverage. And so this position statement is called Nursing and Primary Health Care. And so there is a big focus internationally on what primary care nurses can do and how we're really going to be able to impact primary care, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. So really, really excited about that. And then the other article that I was really excited to see was the opinion paper that Sylvain Brossoux released in May of 2024 for Canadian Nursing Week. And he's the president of Canadian Nurses Association. And his opinion paper is called Once and For All, It's Time to Recognize That All Nurses Are the Solution to Better Primary Care Access. So there is a really big focus on what primary care nurses can do. And I'm just so excited that that recognition is happening and that there are actually guidelines and processes that are recommended that we can start at an individual primary care nurse level, but also at a systems level to be making that difference.
Incredible. What an exciting time in primary care. Isn't it? Doesn't it feel like things are really starting to come together?
Really does. It really feels like everything is coming together and that we are actually making movements forward and we're seeing primary care coming out to become more of a specialty of its own. And I'm really excited about that as well, because we know that there's a lot of excitement working in acute care, working in emergency, working in ICU. We know that there's a lot of excitement working around, you know, perinatal, pediatric, and then, you know, home health and public health. Also, there's, you know, a lot of interest in those areas. But now we're recognizing that primary care is also a specialty area and a place to start moving into, and that it can actually provide a very exciting career.
Well, I'd like to just thank you, Tanis, for all the work that you do supporting your nurses who are pivotal in supporting people's health and wellness in our communities across the region. So I know that you have a huge portfolio. Thank you for all that you do. And I just want to express the appreciation I have for nurses working in primary care. And it's such a treat today to get to highlight that really important work and hear from an expert like you. So I just want to say thanks for that. And then do you have anything that you didn't get the chance to talk about that you want us to talk about today, Tanis, before we wrap up?
No, I think everything's great. I really thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak about primary care nursing and all the wonderful developments that are happening within the area.
Great. Well, I could just talk to you all day, so I'll let you go. I won't be selfish. But before we go, I just would like to thank the Interior Health Professional Practice Office for supporting this project. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please email us at professionalpractice@interiorhealth.ca. And I'd like to thank our sound editor extraordinaire, Dwayne Walwin, for all the work he does behind the scenes to make this podcast possible. So thanks so much, Tanis, and I hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. That's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. We know you're busy and your time is valuable. Thank you for spending some of it with us. Thank you for your commitment to your profession and to your patients, and being a part of the journey of building a culture of excellence